Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. With me in the studio are certified financial planners, Tyler Cook and Tony Payne. And today we're going to tackle a really fun topic and emotional topic and interesting topic to me, something I've been through personally. I think everybody probably has. IOUs and family ties. So lending money without the stress of the mess is the hook. I don't think there's a person alive who has not experienced someone in the family or a close friend coming to them in need of cash or help. And there's a lot of things to navigate. So if you've ever had a family member come to you for a loan, that's kind of the first topic, balancing emotions and money. So some people get triggered when their kids specifically want something. I've experienced this myself for the last 32 years, you know, when you see the look in their face and, you know, they either want to do something or they want something. And
maybe
I'm taking the kids for the first example.
Maybe not everybody.
Yeah, not everybody's going that direction. But if someone tells you that their adult child is asking for a loan, how can they decide without just reacting emotionally? Is there an answer to that?
Well, I know I tried to chime in three times there. Sorry, Tracy.
Yeah, it's okay. There's
a difference in a gift and a loan. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. Because with children, with others, I mean, that's the biggest part right there. Because if you're going to give a gift, it's gone. It's done. That's a gift. And sometimes when you're making a loan, you might have to think of it like a gift. But the idea from the very beginning, I think, is your intent. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something you're helping children with or another family member, the worst thing would be maybe considering something a loan that you really meant as a gift. So I think being clear at the very beginning about your intention is how we'll start off on the right foot in all these discussions.
Does it require, and I'm going to answer my own question, but I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Does it require legal intervention when it gets to be a certain amount of money?
I've seen both. So I've seen that be the case where there's formality to it. There's loan agreements, there's amortization schedules. It's laid out just as if you would go to a bank, but it's an interfamily type setup. Mm-hmm. I would encourage that approach, even if in your mindset it is a gift. That's what I would coach people as well. If you're dealing with kids especially, it's not a loan, it's a gift. That's to be your mindset. If you get the money back, wonderful. But start with the kind of worst case scenario first. Can I afford to not see this money again?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then you go further with it. But I think it is from a certainly documentation perspective, it makes sense. It makes it also a little more real for kids mm-hmm. if they see something and they're signing agreements. I think that's better than just here's the check.
Well, I'm going to back up. We're up to signing agreements and checks and giving stuff
already?
Well,
she said legal, so I
would. Okay, hold on here. Let's go back to should I even give him the money?
Yeah, exactly.
Or whoever it is. I'll ask you, Tyler, when you're thinking about should I give a gift or not, what comes to mind?
First question is, again, can my plan afford this, right? Can I afford to never see a check come back to me? That's the first question I would ask myself.
Okay.
If it's yes, then the next part would be, okay, well, how can I use this as a teachable moment, sticking with the kids, to have them learn about signing on the dotted line for something, you know, liability. And I'd go further with it, and then we'd get into the real weeds of principal versus interest and all those different calculations. What is an interest rate? And depending upon where your kids are, they could be early adults. They might have learned some of that in school, but probably forgot it. Mm-hmm. So resetting those conversations, I think, would be a good opportunity if you are going down the true loan route, not mm-hmm. the gift.
When I think the way you set it up too, Tracy, for those who aren't family members, you know, maybe there's that friend or somebody who's coming to you and they know perhaps you're in that position to have money, however they know that, or they think that. And maybe it's even worse. They just think it and you don't. And you're in that guilt position of, I don't want to embarrass myself maybe, but I also need to be able to say no. And that's where you were saying, Tyler, do I even have it to give it, first of all, and being honest with yourself there with, if I don't get this back, am I okay? And that's a fundamental piece to this. And then even beyond that, you know, why are they asking me for the money? You know, to start there, I think is fair. You know, you're not just the bank. You're not in the business of loaning money out.
Right. Yeah. What caused the situation to begin with?
What about co-signing for somebody's loan?
I was going to go there next.
You know.
That we see
you
that.
You got them.
We see that more with extended family versus your own kids, at least in my experience. I'm sure there's both, of course. But I'm thinking of a scenario right now where somebody co-signed for a nephew. And it's worked out great, but that impacts your credit. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit different. You're not just in the intra-family, your own paperwork type thing. It's you actually had your credit check. You're on the hook if they don't make a payment. I mean, it's there with like Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. It's all there on the record. So you better be sure that that person has the ability to pay it. Otherwise, it's coming to you.
Right. I'm probably the bad guy here because I would say Amex, Visa, MasterCard, these companies are in the business of lending money for a reason. They know how to gauge your credit score. They know how to gauge risk. The idea that you couldn't go to the bank for money or you couldn't get a loan from your basically the professionals who lend money out, that to me is a red flag. You know, if the professionals who gauge risk aren't willing to give you the money, why would I be willing to?
Nailed it. Yeah, I agree 100%.
So keeping it clear and formal, and I've seen loved ones get bitten by this one. So if you can picture this, somebody lent their brother $5,000 to help with a move, no paperwork, just a handshake. And I've actually seen this in my own family. Family member in bankruptcy, can't afford to buy a house, living in a very bad area. Parent wants to pluck the adult child out of the bad area, decides to buy a house for the child under the contingency that after bankruptcy, you will take over this loan, but it was a good faith agreement. Bankruptcy never got any better. Spending habits got worse. Rent was not paid. And I mean, over the course of years and years and years, there was no documentation. And it just turned into a nightmare, of course. And then it becomes an estate planning nightmare for the person that is handling your estate. So that's actually something down the road. But are you a proponent of documentation? I mean, what can be done to guide someone into a more formal protected setup without making it feel transactional?
Well, that's where I think it goes back to, again, the idea of is it a gift or a loan? Again, not to be personal here, but the idea of in those family scenarios where you want to help someone out, if you're in that position to help them out, it's a gift. That money's gone. I'm not counting on it to come back. And then I, as the new creditor, get to gauge my risk. Oh, I didn't get paid back on that loan. I'm done giving loans to that creditor again or that person again. And I think that's the natural course if you're in that position to say, I don't need this money back. And then the other side of it, though, is if there's maybe another issue going on, sometimes that lien, that emotional aspect really comes into play there. So to be able to say no and really practice that is super hard. I mean, to envision that in those family scenarios. And again, you described one there where there's a lot of emotion working on a lot of different right. angles. And to be able to, again, be the bad guy, but not necessarily the bad person, but the one who's thinking not even clearly, but less emotionally.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think parents think they're helping when they do this, but you're likely just enabling the situation and making it worse mm-hmm. long term. So you really have to center how did we get to this point to begin with? Mm-hmm. If it's what you said, Tony, where a true bank wouldn't actually lend them the money, immediate red flags go up. Mm-hmm. And then again, are you actually helping the situation or are you compounding it for future errors mm-hmm. and mistakes? And that's what you really have to start with.
Okay, let's talk gifting because there are other ways to handle this before it even gets there. This is a sort of a positive, proactive approach, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So let's run through what it is, what it looks like, what are the limitations, what's the impact from your experience?
Well, it depends on what you're giving for, how much. I mean, again, let's use some examples that are common. Parents may want to help with a wedding. They may want to pay for a down payment for a house. They might help with college. They might help with medical bills. Each of those may have a different consequence or bucket, like we talked about in that other show. The idea of where should I save? You know, if I'm saving for a house, well, I need that money right away. I can't wait until I'm 59 and a half. If I'm saving for college, well, maybe there's a better tactical way to save in another account type. So it really depends there on what's my goal. And then that can lead you a little better, I think.
Yeah, and different gift strategies can dictate tax planning as well. So think of somebody who's in that kind of ultra wealthy position. Their estate might be, you know, over $25, $30 million. They might proactively start gifting now to reduce their estate from a tax liability when they pass and passing it on to the next generation. So they can do that. Right now, the annual gift exclusion is $19,000 per year. So
per person.
Yeah. Anybody can give anybody $19,000. No requirements to document any of that.
They aren't taxed on that. You're not taxed
Correct.
On that.
Correct. Now, once you exceed that.
I'm sorry
that,
to interrupt. Does that, if I'm gifting each of my children $19,000 a year, does that take my taxable income down or is it just there's no tax incident at all?
Yeah, it wouldn't be your taxable income. The idea there would be to reduce your what's called your gross estate. Okay. The overall value of your entire life, essentially, mm-hmm. your net worth plus life insurance.
But why is that relevant in the immediate? That's more relevant.
It's upon usually my passing, not. Or? Yeah,
the $19,000 a year is more just you're trying to help out and do things. When people get above those limits, that's when you start to see the more tax planning.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to understand.
The underlying part of this show, if you can't tell, gives me the creeps a little, because why are we gifting? Why are we giving loans? Again, it's somebody who is not in the position themselves. So rather than just giving the money or the loan, what are some other things we could do to help them? So the idea where I was going with that gifting, maybe you pay the institution directly. You know, it's too late to have a 529 or fund it. You want to get around the gift tax. Well, you could pay the school, the institution. You can pay the private high school bills. You can have those go to your address, pay them directly. There's no tax consequences there. And if someone were to rack up a big medical bill or medical debt, you can pay that directly, not giving them the money, but take the bill, pay it directly. Those are ways that there's no tax consequences for health, medical needs, education needs, that you could pay the bill directly.
And there might even be tax benefits too. If it's a substantial amount of that of care, you might, that person that you're taking care of might qualify as a dependent when it comes tax time too.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty nice gift to get. Do you have medical issues? Because those rack up pretty quickly. Yeah. Nice.
Definitely. And again, part of this gifting, and you hinted at it, Tyler, it was a lot more relevant when the estate tax limit was $1 million years and years ago. And now that it's above the 20 million mark, I think recently now, it may not be as relevant for estate tax purposes, but some may just want to utilize it for gifting, like you said, Tyler, helping the family out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. And that also is true for somebody who has a child and they're having a birthday party. Maybe instead of buying them the 50,000 teddy bears, you know, you donate to or contribute to their 529.
I've got all my in-laws doing it. It's wonderful.
So do you put that on the invitation there?
I'm very direct.
Very direct.
No more toys. No more stuffed animals. Here you go. And it's actually, even for my birthday, I said I don't want anything. Just put it in their accounts.
Yeah. So what is required to do that? You can't just call them up and make the
They made it so easy now. There's a code you send to family. There's a little code that they enter and go to the website, make the contribution. Yeah. It ties to the right child. And they actually, in some states, you get a tax deduction for doing that as a grandparent.
And that's where each state's plan can be set up a little differently. We like Ohio's because of what Tyler shared. I mean, you could print that QR code. Here's a hint, Tyler. Put it in the invitation, and there you go. Mm-hmm. So the idea of what you've shared, it depends on your state and the 529, what they offer. But there's different ways you could set it up for someone to give, I'll say indirectly. Mm-hmm. But that way you know where your gift is going. Because, again, part of my concerns through this are, what's the underlying issue? Why are we giving? Why are we helping? Again, if it's children and we're helping set them up, that's a little different than giving or loans outside of the family or adult children. Mm-hmm. But when we're thinking adult children, those outside of the family, that's where, again, my default position is usually, why are we doing this? Is it your idea or is it theirs? Mm-hmm. When it's your idea, it's, hey, that's your free will. It was a great idea. When it was theirs, I get a little defensive there.
All right, I want to talk about tracking and managing a loan to somebody that is made between you. So once the loan is made, how can people effectively stay organized? Let's talk about some of the tech and some of the back office strategies you might have for that.
So it starts with the documentation, making sure all that's buttoned up, agreements, interest rates, terms, you know, how long the loan payments is going to last. And I think if I was loaning money to somebody like that in the family, I would want or perhaps require an automated type setup. So I'd give them even some bank information, let them send it to me directly every single month. It's almost like a direct deposit in that sense. But it's automated so that I'm not worried about, hey, you know, that check show up in the mail today? Where's it at?
Right.
So I think there'd be some requirements and some framework set up that you'd streamline it a little bit using technology. But the key to that is the documentation. Have the legal side done first.
I'll quit beating my dead horse after this. Okay. But it's almost like there were companies designed to collect this stuff, you know, designed to bill you or collect and add interest and say, hey, you didn't pay this month. Let's collect our money or have collateral or be able to impact their credit. All those things that you can't do with a personal loan usually. Mm-hmm. So the idea of you having some ramification or what's the consequence. Well, if that person had nothing to begin with and you loaned them the money, what good is even that agreement? So the idea of I've got it documented, I've got a good agreement, so what?
That's why the mindset has to be it's a gift.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. So how do people protect their own financial health? You've kind of gotten into it a little bit, but I want to run down the list and weigh the long-term impact of a loan. If somebody's co-signing for a major loan, especially at pre-retirement age, helping other people in some way. How can you protect yourself?
If you're co-signing, you're not really protecting yourself. You're giving up the protection. Mm-hmm. You're exposing your credit worthiness to somebody else's payment history. Mm-hmm. That's always been my issue with it. So I don't know how you really protect yourself, other than if something happened and that you didn't get paid back, you have the recourse to write a check and pay it off and not have your situation impacted. That's the best scenario. But outside of that, you're exposing yourself to other risks than you are protecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you were doing that in the sense of, let's say you're co-signing for a child's house or something, like you said, Tyler, if you had the money to gift them the house anyway, that may be fine.
Right.
There's no real consequence. But if you were not in that position and then they missed a payment and maybe the housing market changed and they're underwater and you can't sell it, you're going to be the one coming to the table with that check so that they could get out from under it.
Is there a way, and you've kind of gone down the list of the warning signs to watch for really in nuance when it comes to lending family money, but for planning for unexpected situations, you know, can you kind of list some of the unexpected hits somebody would take either for the borrower or the lender?
Yeah, it's, I think, related to it because they're life events usually that drive it. You know, you had something go on with the car, you know, you needed to get to work, you have somebody who needs to take care of family, you know that, and their only way to get there is the broken down car, and you either want to help them get a reliable vehicle or pay for the maintenance on it. It's a genuine help there. So that kind of thing is another great gift that you have to think about. Is this a gift? Is it a loan? And why am I doing it? And again, when you think it through like that, it's a wonderful tool. Hey, I'm helping them get from point A to point B so they can get income back. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. But I mean, it also starts with their character too.
Yeah.
Behind all of this.
Yeah. I guess that's the underlying point. Well, were they going to work or were they going somewhere
else?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, you laugh and you think that that's kind of a given, but honestly, especially in a parenting situation, it's very easy to overlook the faults of those you love the most. And so getting real with their spending habits.
My wife just smacks me upside the head. Gets me back in line.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what it takes? Yep. Oh, I'll have to try that. I wonder how that would go over.
It's just family. Just okay. Family.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't mean slap Tyler over the head.
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that.
I thought right. That's what she meant.
Yeah, me too.
It's just only 12 years. Maybe I'll get there. So how do you build flexibility in your plan finally? So talking about contingency options for changing circumstances, I mean, obviously that starts with emotion, raw emotion. If the situation goes south, man, you've really got to call it on the carpet, right?
Well, yeah, like that scenario where you help either buy the car or helped with the maintenance bills, you know, they lost the job or they quit the job and, hey, you were supposed to repay me that. You know, I co-signed for the loan for that car so you could get to work, and now that's not happening. I think that's where you were going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one I see too that really pulls on the heartstrings is somebody that goes through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's some rough patches ahead, or you had to sell the family house now because it doesn't make sense to keep it. Those are real where you can get the emotional piece weighing heavily on you, and you could potentially make a misstep and you think it's a loan, but it really turns out to be a gift. So mm-hmm. again, center yourself around how we got here. Don't just look at your feet, look out at the horizon on what's coming next and try to strategize accordingly. I would encourage anybody, if it's a down payment on a home, or you're helping with a down payment, or if it's like medical things, probably not. That's more of a gift, like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. But if it's the wants versus the needs scenario, if it's definitely the want, document it. Even if you don't even intend to enforce that, it just makes it real for the other party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lending love without the heartbreak seems like it's... There's a whole bag of emotion that comes with it, but staying organized and being very clear and direct in my experience with it makes the best sense. Yeah.
And I think part of that clear and direct is transparency. Mm-hmm. So if someone is coming to you in that life event or whatever that emotional thing is, and they're pulling on the heartstrings, to have transparency to say, let me see how I can help you rather than let me just write the check. If they're genuinely asking for help, that's usually different than just asking for the check. So the idea of, well, let's see your credit card bills. Let's see what we've been doing. Let's see how we can maybe restructure this. Maybe we call them, put it on hold, freeze the card or the interest. You know, there are other ways that you might be able to attack this rather than, hey, let me just put a Band-Aid on this bullet hole right now, but let's get to the core of the issue. And if they're not willing to be transparent or show you maybe their credit score, how many credit cards are out there, what the balances are, what they've been spending the money on, that might be your answer right there of why I don't want to give the loan. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, there's no transparency here. And on the opposite side, if they're willing to share all of that with you and you see very clearly, yeah, this is a jam up from cash flow or this incident that I knew happened. Well, again, you can go into that with a little bit more foresight.
Yeah. Showing grace, knowing when to show grace makes sense. Well, that's been a fun conversation to have. We hope this has been helpful to you. And if you have any questions, feel free to call our office anytime for a consultation with one of our certified financial planners. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll come back.
Media. Think big.